Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to another episode of Sour Graps. I'm your host, Alex Pulaski, and everything sucks. SmackDown sucks as a whole. As great as the main event scene is and has been largely, almost without exception, since Roman Reigns became champion, the rest of SmackDown has been inconsistent. Let's say that. The booking has been bad. Pushing weird people, weird times, gaslighting us. Just overall, not great. And it's gotten to a point where I can't recommend the show anymore. It was pretty good there for a while. Now it's like, well, the in-ring action is usually pretty good, but the wrestlers are all like some among the best in the world. So the in-ring action is going to be good, but Sean Ross Sapp, of course, always Sean Ross stats. The ninth meeting between members of the Mysterio dojo of Rey and Dominic, between them and American Alpha, at least one of them, nine times they had a match, their ninth match. It was revealed and promoted during a segment that was teasing the 13th match between the Street Profits and Riggler and Zood. When you do matches that many times, it's really hard for even the best wrestlers to come up with enough new shit to keep it interesting. Oh, here, we're going to do that thing that you always do because it's a signature move of yours, and that's the way wrestling works. It's really hard to, like, figure out new ways of doing that when you wrestle each other 13 times! So we'll talk about all that and the sad, sad state of the women's division on both shows in WWE. Anything below the very, very top of the women's division on either show, anything below that is just mired in this weird women's tag team championship muck. It's just so bad. It's ugly. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is the name of this episode. The good is great. The bad is pretty bad. And the ugly is fucking hideous. Not as hideous, though, as the sending everybody's belongings to them after they were fired in trash bags. Not just Mickey James. Because it wasn't just her. I mean, it's bad enough that you would send it to a fucking legend like that. But a lot of people get it. And, you know, last year, too, and many years in the past. And nobody tweeted about it, so it wasn't a problem then. You didn't fire the guy responsible for it then. But public relations, what are you going to do? So we'll talk about that, too. But let's get started. Cesaro comes out, and he just wants to talk. Cesaro just wants to cut a promo in one of the five languages that he knows. But nobody will let him. And when I say nobody will let him, I don't just mean that he gets interrupted first by Seth Rollins, and then by Jey Uso, and then by Daniel Bryan, and then by Roman Reigns. I mean, nobody will let him, in that nobody backstage will give the man a working microphone. Cesaro's out there with a mic. He's gonna talk. And Seth Rollins interrupts. And Seth Rollins, thankfully, isn't wearing a suit because that's how you know that he's got a match coming up, because he's wearing his fur collar red leather jacket that's somehow the least odd thing that he owns to wear. Rollins takes credit for Cesaro's rise, because if I wasn't in the ring with you, it wouldn't have been you. I was the reason why you look so good. Also, I'm the new Mr. WrestleMania. Okay. And if it hadn't been the rain delay, which threw me way off my game, then I would have beaten you, and you couldn't beat me on my worst day. On your best day, you couldn't beat me again. And then Cesaro's like, okay, cool, bet. Rollins is doing the thing. This isn't over until I say it is. Which reminds me of the monologue in Animal House, which came out the year I was born. Lest you think that I'm old enough to have like seen it in the theaters, but it was shot in near my where I went to college, like in my home area. What, my hometown? I lived in the boonies outside of Eugene, Oregon, but they shot it on the campus of University of Oregon. Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. It's a great monologue. The late John Belushi. God, it's a great monologue. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? And then guys on the couch listening to it say, Germans? Just, he's rolling. Let him go. It's a great line. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Germans? Ah, he's rolling. Let him go. It's good. Not as good as, you know, other things from that movie. But it's also better than Rollins' little, nothing is over. This feud doesn't end until the people in creative have a new thing for us to do. And right now they don't. So we're going to have more matches, you and me, because creative is bankrupt. They've got ideas. Oh, don't you worry, Cesaro, Zazaro. They've got ideas, the boys in the back. But then they bring him to Vince, and he says no. So nothing is over until Vince decides it is. I wish it was over. I mean, for now, I think you know, I've only had one match. It's the thing. It's the match was really important because it was the first. And it was great, and they hadn't blown it up yet. So if you keep them like hating each other but not letting them wrestle each other for a while, then you could bring it back around again. It'll still feel special, but they don't want things to feel special. Yeah, so Cesaro says, you know what? Are you having a good day? You said that on my best day, I couldn't beat you on your worst day. I'm just wondering, are you having a good day? Because I'm having a great day. And I'd like you to come in the ring so we can see if your theory checks out. So Rollins coming out, and then Jay comes out and is like, man, you better listen to this guy. I'm going to be the hype man for this dude over here, because that's all I do now is be the hype man for other guys and take pinfall losses. The only reason I won the WrestleMania Battle Royal is because it would if I couldn't get pinned and I was not able to tap out. That's right. The Andre the Giant Battle Royal. That is the secret to Jey Uso winning matches, is if it's not legal for him to get pinned or tapped out, because then he has no idea what to do. Like, if I go into a match, plan A is I get pinned. Plan B is I tap out. There is no plan C, unless it's a battle royal. Spoiler alert, he's in a match last night and he got pinned. I think he was in a match last week and, well, he didn't get pinned. He was going to get pinned. He says, I did appreciate this, although I want them to flesh it out more. Every little good thing they give me is like, well, yeah, but it could be better if. So Jay's like, you can't beat me or Roman Reigns. We disrespected. You came in and you did a challenge and we just walked past you because that was right. We're not going to challenge. What challenge? I'm gonna beat you up. And Rollins is like, whoa. Let's talk some strategy. Okay. Now, how about this? Let's do it together. You and me, we both hate him. Let's get him out. Let's get him together. You go over there. I'll go over there. We're going to surround him. Okay, cool. And Jay's like, yeah, that sounds good. That's good, Oos. Normally, I just run headlong into the ring and then take somebody's finisher. But I like the way you think, Rollins. Strategy. Is that the word you use, strategy? I've never used that word before, but thanks. Rollins, good job. So they're going to go in and beat him up. But then Daniel Bryan comes out, and he goes in the ring, and then Bryan... he's like, Rollins and Uso, we're going to leave. He's like, well, where are you going? I mean, Uso, you came out because Cesaro wants a title shot from your cousin. Actually, he probably sent you out here because you don't do anything of your own accord. And Rollins, you came out because you're embarrassed and upset over the loss of to Cesaro at WrestleMania. So, I'm here to make sure Cesaro finally gets what he deserves. I wouldn't do this for YouTube because you guys suck, but this guy over here standing to my left is the very best wrestler in the world. You know why he is? Because I decided to say that right now. I mean, he is. Cesaro is one of the very best in the world. But it's a weird thing where they like spent literally years not pushing a guy, making him seem ordinary, and only now are they like talking about like I guess better late than never. But Jesus, you've been telling us for years with the way you book him that this guy's not really that special, but now we're like, he is so good, he's the very best. Daniel Bryan thinks he's very, very, very good. Also, did you hear he had the most impressive moment in the history of WrestleMania or wrestling? He spun a man on his shoulders with no hands for all of 4 seconds. It's the most important thing ever! I love the UFO. I think it's great. I don't think it's that great. Because nobody does. Yeah. They're doing it in a way that makes it seem disingenuous. You can be ingenuous when talking about Cesaro. It's perfectly ingenuous to say about Cesaro, Cesaro is one of the very best in the world and always has been. And he's never gotten the opportunities that he's deserved because politics in the back has kept him at a certain level. But he's taking the reins now. And he is going to get that title shot. And he may not win. But he's going to be damn impressive and make you think twice. He's always impressive. Did you see that UFO thing at WrestleMania? Damn, that was very, very impressive. That's ingenuous. It's disingenuous for Daniel Bryan to come out and go, this man standing next to me is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Also, the thing that he did at WrestleMania last week was the very best accomplishment in all of human history. That's disingenuous. Be ingenuous, kids. Don't be disingenuous. I'm pretty sure ingenuous isn't a word. Oh, boy. So, Brian is saying, so what are you going to, are you going to come and fight us? Well, probably not. Hey, is Reigns going to come out and accept the title challenge? Probably not. So, how about Reigns comes out and they'll triple team the three of you, three on two. It'll be fun. And then, Reigns comes out with Paul Heyman, and Jay walks up there and joins him, and Rollins watches from halfway down the ramp. He doesn't get up on the stage near Roman. This is disingenuous too. It is. Roman and Seth, if they weren't friends and allies in their careers, they have been mortal enemies. This is the first time they've ever been on the same heel face alignment on the same show and not been like actual teammates. I'm pretty sure, like, ever. Or at least, like, alluded to the fact that they were once on the Shield. You know what I mean? In the Shield, whatever. On the Shield sounds like they were in that FX show. Vic Mackey. Great show. If I have said that I don't ever want their paths to cross, not because I don't think there's some really cool stuff you could do with Rollins and Reigns kind of like signing a heel treaty where, like, you do your stuff over there, I'll do my stuff over here. If we need to, it's a treaty. So, like, it's an alliance. So if you're attacked over there, okay, or I'm attacked over here, we promise not to get involved unless it is on the other person's behalf. Okay? That's fine. Like, if you're attacked, then I will either back you up or I'll just stay out of it, right? I'll never ever come like, dude, that's the idea. Like, there's some cool, like, mutual respect they could have for each other, even though Reigns could think that the stuff that Rollins has been doing is kind of wacky and weird. And Rollins could still believe that he's better than Roman Reigns in every way, shape, and form, because of course he believes that. But you could do some really cool stuff where they talk to each other and, like, reach an understanding. But the thing of it is I know it's WWE and they're not going to do any of that. So they're just going to expect us to forget that these two guys were 2/3 of what I'm sure they will tell us is the greatest trio in the history of wrestling. Or at least it would be if the other guy didn't jump ship and go to the other place, according to them. So all I needed in this particular moment was Reigns to come out and then, and him just look down halfway down the ramp and go, "Sup, Seth, how you been? Good. I got to do this thing now. Cool." And then he could talk to Brian and Cesaro. I needed an acknowledgement. He's a big guy who likes to be like, "Acknowledge me." Well, you could acknowledge your former brothers in Shield arms with Seth. You could do that. It feels weird that you didn't. And that's what I'm worried about. That they're just not going to acknowledge the fact that these guys were in the Shield. Like, that they're either best friends or mortal enemies, and now they're neither. That's an interesting development that you could play with, but they're not going to play with it. They're not going to acknowledge it. It's shit. So I hate that. But I do love this promo. Reigns talking about how, like, hey, look at my new shirt. It's my new shirt. It shows stack them and smash them and stack them and pin them. And that's what I did to you. And here, you're on my shirt too. You're the guy on the bottom, which means you're the biggest loser. Hey, also, Cesaro, you're a loser for letting this loser talk to you. Speak on your behalf. So none of, like, you're top tier losers, the very biggest of all losers. And you're dumb losers for talking trash while surrounded by people that are going to kick your ass. So, like, good luck to all of you. You're not worth my time. I'm leaving. So then Rollins and Uso head down to the ring, and then we get a tag match. Cesaro and Daniel Bryan versus Seth Rollins and Jey Uso, which, I mean, fine. But the problem with that, I think, as my water bottle is unworking. Broken? There's a little valve here that always gets clogged with I don't know what, and so it doesn't actually pour. I'm out of lemonade and I'm angry. Groceries tomorrow. Anyway, this is a long match. They devote a lot of the episode to this opening segment and the match, and then talking about what happened during the match, and then the setting up the main event. Like, most of the episode is this, which is fine. The match is good. It's long. It's one of those things where, like, we're shorthanded. Hey guys, handle all the business tonight. Because as you can see from the rest of the stuff we're going to put on the episode tonight, we really got nothing else. So have fun. Rollins, at one point, just fucking pieces out. Says, it's not worth it. Nah, I'm leaving. Ah. And he leaves Jey Uso behind. And he just leaves. And it's the second time in like 2 weeks on different shows we've seen somebody walk out and go, it's not worth it. I mean, on the other show, Dana and Mandy said it's not worth it and voluntarily got themselves counted out so they didn't have to, like, I don't know, get punched. As professional wrestlers, they were not, it was not worth being punched so they could win a match. Like, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't need this. I'm Seth freaking Rollins. So Cesaro is a big superplex to Uso, and begging Bryan tags in, hits the running knee, and gets the pin. Cesaro and Daniel Bryan win. You kind of saw that coming. It's a very good match. These are four consummate professionals. In the ring, so good. But then Bryan and Cesaro taunt Roman Reigns, like, come on out here. So Cesaro decides to, because Uso tries to attack them after waking up. And then Cesaro starts swinging him. So Bryan is like, hey, are you going to come out here and stop us? Otherwise, we're going to keep swinging him. Are you probably afraid? You seeing Cesaro swing your cousin. You're so afraid you won't come out. So this goes on for a long time. Cesaro swinging Uso, then dropping him, and then Bryan taunting Roman, and then doing it again. Like, I think you count like 65 swings or whatever. It's a long ass fucking segment. It's effective, but Roman never comes out, and Uso is abandoned and allowed to be absolutely humiliated. Like the one time where like Rollins was upset because like Cesaro swung him 23 times, so that was the basis of their entire WrestleMania feud. That's bad enough, but like when you are helpless, utterly helpless, and this guy keeps, you know, doing this to you, it doesn't even hurt. It's just something you can't get out of. And it's dizzying and disorienting. And your friend, ostensible friend and cousin, your blood, your family, won't come out to try and put a stop to it. That's horribly embarrassing. It's humiliating. It makes Jey Uso look like he ain't worth shit because he can't stop it, and his only ally doesn't think he's worth saving. This is going to be important because Kayla talks to Jey Uso a little bit later. Hey, what happened with your partner walking out on you? I say, I don't give a damn about Seth Rollins. You should give a damn about Seth Rollins. He abandoned you during your tag match. You should be fucking pissed at him. You should want to fight Seth Rollins. You should want to find him in the back and kick his ass. Mostly because you can't kick Roman's ass. Like, I mean, not only like you can't kick his ass because he beat you up, but like, you know, you're not allowed to because he's your meal ticket. There's a really great, great, like, I don't know what their plans are with Jimmy. I don't know when Jimmy Uso, Jay's brother, I don't know what their plans are with him when he comes back, what they're going to do. I would love it if there was a crisis of conscience that Jay is presented with by Jimmy. Are you going to choose me or are you going to choose Roman? Like if Jimmy hasn't just been turned by just happening to be Roman's cousin. I think Jay should have gone to the back, knew it was like Roman's fault for not coming out and saving him. Like Kayla should ask about that. What do you think about Roman didn't come out to save you? And have Jay be like stewing about it. But then see Rollins like still going to himself, I don't need this, I'm Seth freaking Rollins. Like taking his luggage out the door, and Jay run up to him and just beat the shit out of Seth Rollins. Don't you ever walk out on me, Oos? Just beat the fuck out of him. Right? And at the end, like he's just screaming out, you know? Don't you ever walk out on me? Something like that. All that kind of stuff, right? And he leaves him lying there. And he goes back to the locker room. And then Seth comes in the locker room later in the night. And then, what the hell was that all about? And Roman's like, I know we got history. You don't get to come into this room without my say-so. What is the problem? You need to handle your boy. I don't know what his problem is. His problem is you walked out during the match, but he acted out of pocket. And he's going to be dealt with. Seth, you need to leave this room or I am not responsible for what happens to you afterward. Seth leaves. And then Roman turns and faces Jay. Don't you ever on my behalf. Because that's what you do. And when you do anything, when you do anything, it speaks to me. You don't attack people like that. Seth and I have a history. Seth and I are brothers. You're my cousin. Seth, my brother. Now, he and I haven't always seen eye to eye, but you never lay a finger on him. Like, you actually force Roman to choose Seth over Jay and have Jay have to eat it when Roman is dressing him down. That would be really impactful. So that if Jimmy were to come back, Jay would have a reason to be extra pissed at Roman. And maybe Jay's not there to back up Roman when Roman needs him. Because Jay's always been there. If it's not Roman doing a dick punch, it's Jay bailing him out of every big match. So what if Jay's not there because Roman chose Seth in this little backstage kerfuffle? Those are the kinds of stories you can tell. It's easy to tell them. It creates doubt in the minds of the viewers. Will Jay always be there for Roman since Roman wasn't there for Jay? It creates doubt, especially if then you introduce the story element of Jimmy pulling Jay further and further away from Roman. This is good. These are good things you could do. Instead, you have him say, "What do you say about Seth Rollins?" "I don't give a damn about Seth Rollins. Cesaro, you're not allowed to say bad things about my cousin. He's always been my best friend, especially right now when he didn't rescue me." It means nothing matters. Seth walked out on you during your tag match, which led directly to you being in a position where you were abandoned by Roman. That needs to matter to you. Because if there are no, like, consequences for your actions, then nothing matters. And nothing matters. Commander Aziz is backstage with Apollo, and he's very upset with Adam Pearce about having to defend his title tonight. I told you Big E, if Big E comes around, he's going to hit him with another Nigerian nail. Big E will get his shot when he's able to, but tonight you have to defend your title against Kevin Owens. Out of the blue. Interesting. All right, fine. Commander Aziz, I mean, they're never going to do this, but at some point somebody's got to do somebody, if Kevin Owens were to have an actual feud with Apollo Crews, not like this one-off match thing, which, spoiler alert, it's a one-off match. I think. At least, it's not an actual feud. Big E is still feuding with Apollo. If Kevin Owens were to have an actual feud with Apollo, he'd be the perfect guy to be like, "Why are we calling this guy Commander Aziz? That's Dabakato. We all watched Raw Underground. I know I did. It's pretty good stuff. You were very impressive in that match where you pulled the guy's balls off. That was pretty awesome, dude. Don't do that to me, by the way. But that's Dabakato. We all know that's Dabakato. Hi, Dabba." Like, somebody needs to do that. They need to be aware enough about themselves to do it. Of course, they're not self-aware. They got called out for sending people's belongings to them in trash bags, and we're like, "This is horrible. Oh God, I cannot imagine anything would ever happen to this. The guilty party has been fired. We would never. I am so sorry. I would never. We would never." But we've been fucking doing that for years. So they have no self-awareness. None. Reginald is back. Hooray, I guess. I mean, I'm glad he's not still sick. Remember, he said he was sick. That's why he wasn't at Mania. So I'm glad he's not sick anymore. Yeah, but Nia and Shayna and Reginald come out. It's Nia versus Tamina in a Battle of the Titans. You're never, ever, 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 ever going to convince me that Tamina should be taken seriously. Do you know why? Because you've treated her like a total fucking joke for years. So out of the blue, they do this thing like, Tamina got giant chance at WrestleMania 37. Like, I mean, I suppose comparatively, she beats the fuck out of Nia Jax. Nia Jax has never sold so much for anybody in her entire life. And the end up is so Reginald and Baszler, Shayna, they both get up on the apron. Like, I'm not sure in what succession, but Shayna gets kicked off the apron, and then she gets pissed at Reginald for like being in her way. I guess like don't you distract him? I'm supposed to distract him. That's my job. I'm the person who distracts, not you. And then she like backs him up, so he trips over the ringside steps, and this distracts Nia Jax instead. So Tamina super kicks her and gets the pin to win. And Jax is beat the fuck up. She looks like she's bleeding from the mouth. Baszler is super angry. And so is angry. Nia is angry. Everyone's angry. Not more so than me. Just listen, just fucking you've got now three different tag teams feuding with Nia and Shayna. Two on Raw with Lana and Naomi. They got a win in the match on Monday. Only because the other team, Dana and Mandy, distracted Nia. And then on Friday, Tamina got a win over Nia. Like, the one tag team you have on the entire women's roster, the one real tag team you have, is the Riot Squad. It's the one real tag team you have. Not like, hey, we had nothing else from Mandy Brooke, so Mandy Brooke. We had nothing else from Mandy Rose, so here you go, Dana Brooke. Here's your new tag partner. Try not to embarrass her too much. Also, Naomi, it's so good to have you back. Here's an albatross in the form of Lana. You can wear that around your neck. And Tamina and Natty. Natty, Notes App Natty, who got pissed about a fake thing and decided to like make a big stink about it. So here you go. Here's your push. Here, Tamina, I guess you can be booked strong again for the first time and for fucking ever. These are all the people who have claims to be the next number one contender for Nia and Shayna, who are now imploding because different people are being distracted or not distracting or distracting wrongly or were distracted too much by the wrong thing at the wrong time. Distractions are the only reason these people aren't seeing eye to eye. Will they ever be able to coexist? Where the fuck are Ruby and Liv? They're the only actual tag team you have on the roster, and they're the one fucking tag team that's not a part of this stupid fucking feud. whatever you're going to do, like whatever you're going to do, just do it. Cause I'm so sick of this shit. I'm so sick of it. I don't fucking care what you do with them. Just do something with these women's tag belts. Like, burn them for all I fucking care. They're just, this is just utter dog shit. Oh, it's so bad. And so many of the women who are involved in it could be doing much better things with their time. But you said, let's put them all in one big feud. And nobody's going to get over. Except for Natty and Tamina. For some fucking reason. Kayla interviews Kevin Owens. He's like, it's been years since my last IC title shot. I'm waiting for this. I'm thrilled and delighted. I wasn't expecting it, but I'm not going to turn it down. Big E comes up and says, you jumped the line. You're a habitual line jumper. It's like, okay, like, I know you're pissed at me because a while ago, I remember that time where I was you were injured and I was Big O, and then I attacked Kofi and Xavier. I'm sorry about that. That was a long time ago. I'm a different guy now. I know you're really pissed that you lost your title at Mania. But you probably should get a rematch. But I didn't make the match. Somebody offered me a title shot. What am I going to do? Turn it down? And he is like, you know, I'm sure. Yeah, have fun. I will have fun. And you say that's my title. Well, it's not your title. If I win tonight, when I win, it's going to be my title. So how about that? So they're teasing tension between Big E and Owens. This is a nuance, and I like it. These are both baby faces, people we like to root for, and they don't like each other. That causes us to go, well, I like both of these guys, and they don't like each other. Well, then who am I supposed to root for? Exactly. That's a good thing. You should have to question that about yourself. Daniel Bryan is like, so, what are you going to do? Come on. I am back here politicking on behalf of a different person. Cesaro wants a title shot. Give it to him. Give him the title shot. Why haven't you given him the title shot yet? Come on. Come on. Come on. This has got to be the only time that's happened. I am back here talking to the authority figure. Give somebody else a title shot, damn it. Pierce is like, it's not easy, but I'm going to try. Do more than try. I don't know why all of a sudden, literally all of a sudden, Daniel Bryan is like, I need Cesaro to get a title shot. I mean, I understand it's for like, you know, to help the drama later, but like, there's got to be a reason. That can't be the reason for it in storyline. The storyline's got to be another thing. You know what I mean? But whatever. Owens versus Apollo Crews with Sami Zayn on commentary. This is where I think McAfee's really doing some great work. Pat McAfee is getting better and better. And I do love how he toes the line between rooting for both guys. It's very, very good. It's almost kind of weaselly. But he also is able to put over both guys at the same time. I mean, Cruz and Owens are both talented wrestlers. Again, the in-ring work isn't going to be a problem. The problem is Owens is able to get him a two count with a pop-up powerbomb. And then Aziz gets up on the apron, starts yelling at Owens. So Cruz just rolls him up. I hate distraction finishes. I hate them. The worst distraction finish is the distraction roll-up finish. Like, that's supposed to, like, protect Kevin Owens. Right? I'm sorry. Not being able to kick out of a simple schoolboy roll-up makes you look a lot worse than not being able to kick out of the guy's finisher. Right? If I'm distracted long enough for you to sneak up behind me and roll me up, I'm also distracted long enough for you to sneak up behind me and hit your finisher on me. And at least that would daze me enough that I wouldn't be able to kick out of your pinfall attempt. Why don't people, when they have the opportunity, do something along the lines of what Tamina did? At least she hit a super kick to get a pinfall win. I don't know, like, this is, what? So, Owens hits Cruz with a stunner. Like, Cruz won the match, but then Owens gets to hit his finisher on Cruz, and then Aziz comes out, and he does the Nigerian nail. The Nigerian nail is the Samoan spike. It's the Umaga thumb to the throat, right? Nigerian nail. The thing of it is somebody's got to teach Dabba Kato the way to do it so it looks good, right? Because he doesn't put the thumb up there so we all see that's the thumb. Umaga did that great. He just, like, raises an arm, and then he swipes across. It's like he comes like this, and he follows through. So if he was actually doing the thumb, he'd, like, slit their throat like the Undertaker. What you have to do to make the move look great is when the thumb comes down, it's got to stop. It's got to bounce back a little bit because it hit resistance and bounced back. If you go all the way through it, there should be no follow through. It has to look like you rammed your thumb directly into their windpipe, which shut off oxygen to their brain. Doing this, the follow through makes it look like you missed the guy. Somebody teach Dabba Kato how to do the Samoan spike better. Anyway, Owens is out cold because, again, his trachea has been collapsed by one man's thumb. And then Sammy is so overjoyed by seeing this because he hates Kevin Owens that he gets in the ring and dances over Owens' corpse while Owens is trying not to laugh. I swear to God, you can watch Owens, like, look away from Sammy so that he doesn't laugh because Sammy's bringing out all new dance moves. So Kayla asks Paul Heyman if Roman Reigns is going to accept Cesaro's challenge. So Heyman keeps talking Cesaro. What? I love Cesaro. How could you not love Cesaro? Who would be enough of a monster not to love Cesaro? Cesaro is the best person that's ever existed on planet Earth. We love Cesaro. He's perfect. He's perfect. He's an Adonis. What an amazing human being. Last week, Paul, you said it was a joke. You said it was an absolute joke. Like, Paul, what's with the... I know you write your own shit. Who told you to go from telling the guy that saying that he was a joke, like he had a billion-dollar body and a 10-cent brain last week, to talking about how brilliant he is this week? That's disingenuous. Be ingenuous. We're going to hear from Roman Reigns before the night is over, he says. So there's a new correspondent. She's new curly-haired blonde chick. I don't know. I mean, I know her name, but according to the rules of Sour Graps, I'm not allowed to speak it. So Cruz comes and talks to her, celebrating his win over Kevin Owens. This is proof of what will happen. Anyone foolish enough to come for the title, he doesn't say this, but I am. Anyone foolish enough to come for my title is going to get beat up by somebody else. Not me. I am incapable of doing it myself. That's why I have my friend Dabakato, who has a fancy new jacket. They should do a children's book. WWE should put out a children's book called Dabakato's Trip to the Jacket Store. Because I want to know where he went to get that jacket. It's a very fancy jacket. Also, his pants, they have a nice stripe on the sides. It matches her fancy jacket. So then he's attacked by Big E. Big E beats the hell out of him, but he's pulled away by like four people. And those four guys were not enough to pull away Big E. You could actually see Big E's feet shuffling backwards. Like he was backpedaling. And Commander Aziz runs up and checks on him. Hey, what happened? I was just inside that room over there. What happened? Oh, geez. I'm going to get Big E or my name's not Dabakato. That's what he said. So yeah, here's the deal. Aleister Black was drafted to SmackDown. We haven't seen him since. His wife, Thea Trinidad, formerly known as Zelina Vega, didn't want to give up her very lucrative Twitch stream, so they fired her. Basically, that's the idea. He was unhappy about that and a lot of other things. So he's been off of TV since October. We heard that he had filmed some new vignettes. We got the first one, and hoo boy. So it's, remember those things where he would just like, he was a baby face and he would sit in a dark room wearing all black and he'd look at the camera and he's saying, baby face tweener, we were supposed to root for him, I think. I am begging anyone to fight me. Pick a fight with me. Remember those? Like from a year and a half ago? Come and knock on my door. We've been waiting for you. It's hers and his and his. Give company to. Well, he's got some new vignettes now. And this time, he's wearing glasses. He's still in a dark room. By himself, looking at the camera, wearing all black. Now there are like some candles on candelabras around the room, enough that he looks like he's in a Liberace museum. That's a joke for people who know that Liberace liked candelabras. He's wearing glasses. These are cult leader glasses. They are the glasses David Koresh wore. Like they're glasses, but they're very, very large. They're very large and roundish. If they're 70s glasses. Like people wore these in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Not so much anymore. Now it's like thinner, more rectangular, wire rimmed, or whatever. These are very obviously meant to evoke something. So he's reading from a book that says that the name of the book is called Tales of the Dark Father. There's an animation component to the vignettes where we see it's intentionally crudely drawn. Everything's kind of in silhouette. You can see like white, very small white circles for eyes, but they're like drawn, I don't know, very crudely, almost tribal, like cave paintings or whatever, but it's all in black and white, obviously. it's a story about he says the first chapter from the Dark Father, the dragon. I was a child. The father took him to other people's funerals, celebrations of life and death. I was too young to understand, but the father became cold and distant. I learned not how to defeat the dragon, but how to become the dragon. People are weak-minded and turn their children into bigger monsters than they are. People need to be scorched from the earth to make room for more fertile things. And that's it. And the way he said more fertile things, you could tell there was more to the monologue, and they cut it just from the way he was saying the line. I don't know. You could do a lot with Aleister Black. Here's the deal, but Aleister Black, have him go down to the ring, kick somebody's fucking face off, and leave. That's it. Just like you could have him once a week walk down to the ring, kick somebody's fucking face off, and leave, and have him do that for like 3 weeks in a row, and then give him a mic. These vignettes are not necessary. Like they're just not. He's so fucking talented. I hope he's no longer employed by this company this time next year. Otherwise, they will have wasted way too much of his prime. I don't know what his contract is like, but I do hope he just lets it lapse. Kayla interviews Wriggler and Zood. Alpha Academy versus the Mysterios. Again, it's their ninth match. What do you think is going to win? And Ziggler acknowledges that he and Otis used to have problems, but now it's cool. I'm fine with it. Doesn't matter. That's what old Wriggler says. I don't think that Mysterio is one of the greatest. He and I went to wars several years ago. But is his kid Dom definitely the weak link? The fucking yeah, I'm saying to myself at home. So who's next for Wriggler and Zood? And as if by magic, the Street Profits walk up and go, "How about us?" And of course, why wouldn't you say that? Because you guys, like, listen, Street Profits, I like you. You should have been booked to win last week. I don't know if I can watch another 13 matches between you and Wriggler and Zood. I don't know if I have it in me. Now, Bailey walks up after they're talking to him. Get in the back of the line. Well, you had multiple shots against us before you won. We should have multiple shots against you before we win. And then Bailey says, hold on, guys. I'm going to cut this tension with a proverbial knife. Why don't you guys, you guys back off. It's cool. See, I'm a locker room leader. She says to Kayla, I'm going to take credit for helping to get Bianca ready. Listen, she's so rude. She got to SmackDown. Who was her first big win against? Me. I helped her get to the point where she could win the Royal Rumble. It was all me. And no, it's not so much as a thank you. Why don't you go and tell Bianca that? So Montez is there. He's got his wife on speakerphone. She's like, hey, I don't mean to be that guy, but Bailey's got your name in her mouth, and you can hear Bianca on speakerphone go, Bailey, hold on, I'll be right there. And so why don't you say that to her face, says Montez. And so I said, I will, says Bailey. And we go to commercial. We'll come back from the commercial. And it's Bianca Belair's there. And Bailey's there, and she says, "What are you talking trash about me?" He's like, listen. So I'll say congratulations on your big WrestleMania win. I'm honored to be your first challenger at WrestleMania Backlash, at WrestleBackmania Lash. Listen, I was watching you with Sasha. I mean, I've wrestled her a lot, and I know how tough an opponent she can be. So what you did to her is pretty amazing. So I just want to say hats off to you. Kudos. And I can't wait to see you. May the best woman win at WrestleBackmania Lash. And she leaves. Well, and then she says, but Bianca says to Kayla, well, that's not what I was expecting. And then Bayley says, oh, one more thing. Ha, 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 ha. I was kidding. Which is actually, this is the best I've actually, this is pretty good. This is pretty good. Bayley versus Bianca with Bianca as the champion should be pretty good as long as they don't have Bianca selling too much. That's usually a problem for them when they book their baby faces, but we'll see. Alpha Academy versus the Mysterios is a match that happens. There, Chad Gable is so much better than this shtick. He's one of the very best in the world, and they were like, that's a guy. Jesus. I think that he's already doing this, but just let your contract lapse, dude, and go somewhere else. Don't get released early. No 90-day non-compete. Like, I want your contract to be up. Don't sign it. Walk away, and then the next day I want to see where you sign someplace else, and I'm going to watch all your matches. He did the Three Amigos, basically. The old triple suplexes without ever letting go of the person. You know the Three Amigos. You know what that is. We're all wrestling fans. You know what the Three Amigos are. He did that, but with a belly-to-bellies. Like, float-over belly-to-belly suplexes. It's really, he's really, really impressive. Of course, that means he gets pinned. Because we're not allowed to have good things. It's a fine match. Wrong person won. It's just WWE for you. It's a fine match. Wrong people won. That's the way it works. So Cesaro and Daniel Bryan go down to the ring, and they're waiting there. I'm waiting for an answer from Roman Reigns. And Reigns doesn't come out, so we can go back there and get an answer from you guys if you want. And so then Reigns comes out with Jay and Paul Heyman. He says, I can't believe Reigns does. I can't believe you're going to challenge me. You deserve it. You haven't earned it. This is always going to be, the answer is no. The answer will always be no, because you cannot get on my level. The champ issues the challenges around here. So he just walks right past Cesaro and says to Daniel Bryan, I don't like you. I never have. I never will. But I'm going to give you one last chance. One more title opportunity, and that's it. Next week on SmackDown. What do you say? And Cesaro's like, you have to take the shot. You have to do it. So Cesaro and Daniel Bryan are best friends who only want the other person to be champion. You can do this. You have to. And Reigns is like, hey, you shut up. I'm not talking to you. But here's the deal. Here's the stipulation. If you lose, when you lose, I never want to see you again. Not on my show. You disappear, vanish. I don't want to see you on SmackDown ever again. Do you understand me? And then He says, yes, I accept the challenge. And the fans, the piped in crowd noise goes crazy. So this is, I guess, a way to get Brian onto Raw so he can wrestle some guys on Raw before he retires. That was a hell of a thing that he said on some podcast. He was like, I was walking down to the ring, the main event of WrestleMania, in a match for the Universal title. And I was like, well, this doesn't feel right. Why am I not excited about this? Why this doesn't feel like it normally does? So Daniel Bryan, who when he retired from wrestling in WWE, was as crushed as I've ever seen, trying to remind himself to be grateful over and over and over again. And how hard it was for him to be sitting there and doing talking smack and be taunted by guys like The Miz about how he couldn't wrestle anymore. And he went on some kind of odyssey to go to the right doctors and get people to say, yes, you are allowed to wrestle. You're not going to die if you take the wrong bump. He did all of that to get back in the ring. And like, what? 3 years later, 2 years later, whatever it is, he's like, yeah. Is there a bigger indictment of WWE that they could have a man who loves wrestling, like to its core, work for them, and cause him to be like, nah, I'm not into it anymore. Jesus. That's bleak. That's bleak as fuck. Now, maybe he's saying that because he actually is into it somewhere else, and by all means, I could definitely understand that. But if he actually is going to leave WWE, maybe he wants to wrestle some guys who are on Raw, and this is the best way to do that. Now, it takes away the option of them doing a Edge versus Daniel Bryan match. We haven't seen Edge since he lost at Mania. Like, they haven't really even brought that up, really. So I don't know what they're planning on doing for that. People are saying, oh, Edge is going to cost Daniel Bryan the match next week. And, like, while that may be true, the only reason a main reason you would do that is to start an Edge versus Daniel Bryan thing. And would you then be doing it on Raw? Because you can't do it on SmackDown. That's Roman Reigns' show. So Daniel Bryan can't be on that show to have his feud with Edge. And I don't know. Who knows? Edge can go anywhere he wants, I suppose. But I don't think that they want to do feuds traveling from one show to the other, because I don't think they think we shouldn't be watching the other show. I'm pretty sure. You should only watch one or the other. That's why they feel like they are licensed to do the same shitty storylines on Raw and on SmackDown at the same time, because they think we won't notice because we don't watch both shows. All right, that's all of SmackDown. I really enjoyed the segment between Roman. Killed it, like murdered it in that last segment. He was so good, so commanding. I just wish in big matches he wouldn't rely on Jey Uso to save his ass every time or resort to a dick punch, because that's every big pay-per-view match he's had. There hasn't been a single one since he became champion where he hasn't resorted to a dick punch. Or, I guess, the Hell in a Cell, where he put Jimmy Uso in a guillotine choke and forced Jay to give up. But everything else, it's always been like either dick punch or Jay Uso saving his ass. And I feel like he's got to win some matches on his own, because the character you're creating would absolutely win matches on his own. WWE is obsessed with the heel has to cheat at all times, otherwise they're not a heel. Sometimes the heel is just a dick who's better than everybody else, i.e. Kenny Omega. The heel doesn't have to cheat every time, because then it devalues the cheating. I've talked about this before. I will ad nauseum. Let's talk about this. Mickey James tweets out a picture of a trash bag with a post-it with her name on it, scrawled in Sharpie, Mickey. That was sent to her. It apparently had all of her stuff that she had left at various WWE places. And she tweeted it out, said, "Just got my care package at Vince McMahon." And Triple H tweeted out, and Steph tweeted out, like, "Oh God, this sickens me to my very core. This hurts me personally. Like, my soul aches for what has happened to you, Mickey. Rest assured, the person who's responsible has been dealt with." We find out, we piece together. Like, by the way, like, you fired an independent contractor. And they get all their shit sent to them in a plastic bag. This happens to other people. Not everybody, but other people have that happen to them too. And they didn't tweet it out about it because they are not in a place of zero fucks left to give like Mickey James is. But this happened to like Maria Kanellis last year. She went public about it, but there was no like big, "Oh Jesus, how could this have happened? Rest assured, we shall find the parties responsible, and they should be dealt with swiftly and without remorse." None of that bullshit happened last year. This is a thing that happens. It's never been a problem until now, because it became a PR disaster for you. It's disingenuous. Be ingenuous. So, by process of elimination, hey, somebody got dealt with and fired. Also, hey, this guy Mark Carano has been fired. Gee, I wonder if they're related. Mark Carano, by all accounts, is a sniveling little piece of shit toady of a less than half a man. Like, but nobody likes this fucker. I didn't watch the episodes, but my sister-in-law loves Total Divas. And my brother reached out to me because she had heard about it, because she has friends who do also watch. She doesn't watch WWE, but she watches Total Divas. She's one of those people. She says she misses Rusev. And I keep saying, well, Rusev's, he's on a different company now. But heard my brother reach out to me and say, "Hey, I heard about this, the guy I fired, my sister-in-law always thought he was a creep." And yeah, confirmed by about everybody. Total creep. Why would this person who's a total creep have been employed at such a high level of WWE for so long? Well, because they don't care that he's a creep. That doesn't bother them. Doesn't matter. What matters is he's a sniveling little toady of a half man. And he's a yes man. He'll never, ever, ever not blow smoke up his boss's asses. So the fact they've actually fired him over this means, I don't know. This is not the fall guy you pick. this seems like this is the guy who did it. But then again, he's been able to do it, if this is the guy, for years and get away with it. Just sent the trash bag to the wrong lady. Somebody came out with this. Somebody says, I don't know who this person is, but they apparently seem very reliable, since a lot of wrestlers and ex-producers in WWE follow her, says that he's been stealing title belts from WWE for years, and he keeps them in a box under the bed of his guest room in his house in Connecticut. So I hope he goes to jail for theft. I do, because I think a guy like that probably would do great in jail. WWE has, I'm not going to use the right word, promulgated? Why is this a word that I want to use? I'm going to look it up right now. There you go. I was right. Promulgated. They have promulgated, which is means to promote or make widely known. They have promulgated a culture of this kind of shit backstage for years. And it starts with the rotting head at the top. I say rotting head. Vince McMahon has fucking brain worms. I don't know if you've seen this shit. Like, he's always had a twisted, weird, fucking dark sense of humor. But Jesus Christ, he's doing an interview for the biography thing they're going to do for Roddy Piper, who famously is a dead person. And he says, he picks up his phone and says, oh, hi, Roddy. How's it going? How's it going in there? Oh, it's warm where you are. All right. You're saving me a spot right there next to you? Oh, okay. Well, not for years, though. Okay. Well, all right. Well, I'll talk to you later, Roddy. Okay. Bye. And he just chucks his phone off screen and says, Roddy's in heaven. He's not in hell. How do you have a person whose brain works like that in charge of, I don't know, fucking anything, let alone a billion-dollar corporation? It's a, like, WWE doesn't give a shit about the people who independently contract for them. Below the absolute top tier, and they never have, and they never will, because they're just cogs in the machine, and that's all they're going to be viewed as. And it's reprehensible to be like, oh, here, you person who is a legend because we featured her on Legends Night. Here's all your shit in a fucking trash bag. Get the fuck out. That's disgraceful. I'm glad you got called out about it. I hope there are people who are very, very pissed about it. And Sean's saying everyone's reaching out to Sean, who's saying, like, this is horrible. We can't believe it. We're very upset about it. Well, yeah, you're upset. You're upset you got caught. The same way Hulk Hogan was upset he got caught on tape saying some stuff he shouldn't have said. You're very upset somebody called you out on your shitty behavior, everybody in WWE, and you should be embarrassed and upset and sickened. When the stuff you do that you don't even think twice about, because just the way shit gets done around here, is called out on the carpet for being shitty fucking behavior And everyone says, hey, dude, that's disgusting. Oh, yeah. I guess it is. That is really embarrassing and humiliating. You ever have a really bad habit? Like something, I don't know, stupid, a disgusting thing you do, biting your nails or something or whatever. Like my wife hates that she bites her nails. She thinks it's disgusting. So she asked me, whenever I saw her bite her nails, she does something just like, this is without thinking. She just does it automatically. It's just a nervous tick. And I should tell her, honey, you're biting your nails. And then she gets so mad at herself about it. Like, no, honey, you can't control it. This is just a thing that you do. She gets so mad at herself and embarrassed and like, oh God, it's disgusting. This is a terrible thing that she does. No, this would be like if somebody said, hey, this is a thing I want to get better about. I want to be better. I want to be more ingenuous. I want to improve myself. So if anybody sees me putting a legend's shit in a trash bag, and then sending it to her, could you please just let me know so I can correct my behavior? Thanks. Except they didn't know it was terrible. They didn't ask anybody to correct them on it. They've been corrected. This is them. This is the dog taking a shit on the carpet and you rubbed its nose in it. Bet you're not going to do that again. But you might sneak into the closet and tear up somebody's good shoes because you're a dog. Because WWE is a dog with no more sense than a fucking animal who sniffs its own asshole. Doesn't know it's doing anything wrong because no... I don't know. Fucking disgusting. I'm very, very excited about this whole Daniel Bryan Reigns match. Because I think it'll be great. Probably be able to distraction finish. That's going to piss me off. The rest of SmackDown is not in a good place, guys. It's just not. Because they're not hot potatoing the title back on Big E. So this feud with Apollo Crews is going to go nowhere. Oh, the one place it's going to go is right up the sleeve of Dabba Kato's new jacket. Bianca versus Bayley should be a lot of fun at Wrestleback Mania Lash, but who? I don't know. That's the other bright spot. There's two bright spots. Everything else on SmackDown is bad. Everything on Raw is bad. But like, we can't give SmackDown a pass anymore, guys. I likened it to Raw is a dumpster fire, raging out of control. Somebody keeps walking by and throwing gasoline in it. Just like, stop doing that. And I said, SmackDown's like a little waste paper basket that somebody drops a match into. And you're just waiting to see if the match catches on fire and like actually starts lighting all the paper on fire. But even if it does catch on fire, just drop like a glass of water in there. It'll be fine. It's worse than that. It's worse than that. Like, it's not... It's no longer a little waste paper basket. It's like a full-on trash can. It's a trash fire. Not a dumpster fire. It's a trash can. One of those metal trash cans they use in hardcore matches. It's got, like, some oily rags in there at the bottom, you know? And somebody threw a cigarette in there, and now the oily rags caught on fire. Guys, this is getting serious. Somebody's going to need to put out this fire. I don't want it to spread. If a spark flew out of the fire and then floated over there, it could catch on something. The whole place goes up. Let's put out the oily rag fire that is SmackDown. Spoiler alert. Nobody's going to put out the fire, and it's going to get worse and worse. This has been... SmackDown, Sour Graps. I've been Alex Pulowski. Tune in on Tuesday when I talk about NXT and how it is good on the regular YouTube channel. And then right after that, tune in to Fightful Select where I talk about Raw and how it is definitely not good. Thank you, Fightful Faithful, for continuing to support Sour Graps. It means the world to me. I mean, if I didn't have you guys, who would I yell to about WWE? Not my wife. She wouldn't let me. My daughter doesn't listen to a damn word I say. I don't know. Maybe I'd just yell at my laptop, but the camera wouldn't be on. That'd be weird. Everything sucks.